Okay, why don't you introduce me to everybody? Also, everyone can move closer, too. It's a lot of... And also, it's harder for me to yell and scream, so...
So, I would like to introduce His Holiness, Dr. Krishna Goswami. For those of you who don't know, he's one of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, joined in the early 1970s in America. And he's done a lot of preaching over the last 40 years, a lot of distribution, made many devotees, and now he's a governing body.
I guess 40 years, 1971.
Now he's GBC governing body commissioner. Spiritual master. There's many disciples, different parts of the world, in Europe, America, New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, who else?
What are the continents in there? India. What are the continents?
Africa?
Not that I know of.
Antarctica?
No, I don't know anybody there.
So Maharaj travels extensively, preaching, doing many nice lectures and seminars. I'm very fortunate to have him. He is staying here tonight, and he'll be giving class, Srimad Bhagavatam class at the farm in the morning.
Yeah.
At roughly 8 o'clock after the Guru Puja, Kirtan. So thank you all for coming. So Maharaj will talk now about Krishna's pastime, Chandra Rastika. And then after that, we'll probably have a feast after that.
Okay, that's good.
Roughly 6 or however long you want to speak.
Yeah, let's see how long it goes. What? Yeah.
And then after that, we have Govinda Charan doing a yajna for the safe delivery of a new child that's coming along. And hopefully we can squeeze in a nice kirtan there and Damodarastra as well.
All right. So, can everybody hear me all right? Okay, so Om Aganat Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namahat. So I want to thank Rupa for a nice introduction. And it's very nice to be here with all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. This is actually the second time I've been in this area. Usually I'm just going to Sydney and Sunshine Coast a little bit and Brisbane a little bit. So happy to come here. And also to see Rupa's new house. I'm envious. No. No, you pay the bills. So this month is a very important month. It's called the month of Damodar, month of Kartik. And during this month, when one does some devotional service, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, or any of the 9 processes of devotional service, one gets something like 1,000 times more benefit for serving Krishna during that month. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Sometimes devotees take up special vows, they're called vratas, during this month, like to give up something that they're very attached to. Most devotees I know give up something that they're not attached to, which is really easy. Like if you ask me to take a vow, I give up beetroot, which I hate anyway. For the month, but
Rupa gave up a vow paying his bills, but that didn't
that didn't work. So, but the idea of all these vratas or austerities is to remember Krishna and to keep a positive attitude concerning Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we find devotees, joking aside, who make vows that really make them more bitter. That's not good. To take up austerities or vows or processes that turn you away or turn your mind away from Krishna is not a good idea. Because the first rule of devotional service, according to Rupa Goswami, is what? Does anyone know? Always remember Krishna, and what's the second rule? Never forget Krishna. So all the other rules and regulations are subservient. Thank you. Thank you. You want to give it to me? That's nice. Are subservient to those particular rules. So I was just at Govardhana. In fact, I just came from India yesterday, and if I'm a little tired, that's why. So I was just at Govardhana, and we were talking about different ways of going around Govardhana. You all know what Govardhana Hill is? I think so. Govardhana Hill is the hill that Krishna lifted with the pinky of his left hand. And generally when devotees go around Govardhana, they go around barefooted, right? Barefooted? So I remember many years ago, before any of you were born, or most of you were born, that first time I went around Govardhana, it was 1972 or 73. And I went around barefooted for the first time in my life. And by the time I was halfway around, I was thinking, this is not a pleasant experience. I was thinking, oh, I have to finish it. I have to finish it because I'm supposed to finish it. But I'm going to do it. Ah. And by the end, walking on the hot road and the hot sands, I finished going around Govardhana, but then I had sort of like a negative experience. I'm sure some of you may relate to this. I had a negative, so in my mind I was thinking, thank God I only do that once a year. Or can you imagine that? So the mind was that, I'm just revealing what was going on in the mind. Yeah, it's better to put it up there because my hands aren't that long. I was revealing what I was thinking. So recently I've understood that austerity should only be executed when they actually help bring your mind and heart closer to Krishna. So recently when I've been taking devotees around Govardhana, actually I've been doing parikrama every day when I'm at Govardhana, except if I'm sick or something like that. I've been advising them to wear socks or even sometimes shoes when they go around Govardhana, because I found out that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would wear shoes when he went around Govardhana. And the reason is, he gave, was that his feet were meant for preaching. In other words, traveling to different places and preaching. So the point is, and people are having a rather pleasant experience. I know that Nrisinghananda, that's Nrisinghananda back there, went around Govardhana. You had a nice experience, right? So if you force people to do too many austerities, they will have a negative impression. And that will not bring them to Krishna. And that's too many times as immature devotees we force people to do too many austerities. So one should fix up, according to Rupa Goswami, some devotional practices according to his particular ability and stick with those devotional practices. I mean, sometimes we're preaching or speaking to people who are not Krishna conscious and saying to them, if you don't chant 16 rounds, you're fallen. So then, in other words, we're trying to force people to do something they're not ready to do. And that sort of drives them away from Krishna consciousness. So people should understand their own limitations. So now when I go around Govardhana, I wear socks. And it's not that I'm in Maya or any less Krishna conscious or any more Krishna conscious. I'm not saying I'm Krishna conscious. But at least I have a positive experience of doing that. So that's the point. No austerity should be accepted if it takes you away from Krishna. It's not going to help you become Krishna conscious. All right. So getting back to the point. So I wanted to talk about Krishna's pastimes. First of all, this month of Damodar is called the month of Damodar because it refers to Krishna being tied around his belly with a rope. First of all, by Mother Yashoda. But then in a more esoteric understanding, Krishna is tied up by Radharani, because Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, which means he who attracts Cupid. So if any of you are having problems with Cupid, you go to see Krishna. Does anyone here have a problem? Don't admit. Yeah. Cupid is a real person. You have Valentine's Day here? Do you celebrate it?
Sometimes. You may say a few words to your wife or something.
You give your wife some chocolate or something like that? Yeah. So, Cupid is a real person. He has a bow and arrow, and he's called Ananga, which means he's in a subtle body. He doesn't have any limbs, in other words, because he was burnt up by Lord Shiva, who got very upset with him. So Cupid is firing his arrows at all of us, of form, taste, smell, touch, the objects of the five senses. So if we want to conquer Cupid, we have to approach Madan Mohan. Mm. And if we want to get the favor of Madan Mohan, we have to approach Madan Mohan Mohini, who is Srimati Radharani. So she ties up Krishna around the belly and around the mind and around every other conceivable part of his transcendental body by her great love. So we're going to talk about Radharani's love for Krishna today in terms of a story, or the story, from Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. It's a very esoteric work, and I'm not going to get too detailed in my recitation of this particular story, just the basic aspects of the story. So once upon a time, as the stories, or all stories go, Krishna was in Vrindavan. Everybody knows about Vrindavan? No. Vrindavan, or Braj, is the area where Krishna executed his childhood pastimes, Golconda, Kishora, and Yovana, Kumara, Golconda, Kishora, the three stages. You understand? When Krishna was very small, it was mainly with Mother Yashoda, and she was feeding him, holding him on her lap. When Krishna approaches the Golconda stage, he wanted to herd the cows, and actually that's the day we just celebrated, when Krishna starts herding the cows, right? And that's why we dress up Radharani sometimes as a cowherd boy. Have you ever seen that with the deities? The reason you do that is because when Krishna went out to herd the cows, Radharani was feeling so much separation, she wanted to be with Krishna. And so she and the other gopis dressed up as coward boys so they could be with Krishna just like the coward boys. So that's why Radharani is dressed up as a coward boy. Anyway, and so during these ages, Krishna enacts various pastimes, but the sweetest pastimes are the pastimes that Krishna enacts in relationship with the gopis. So there are many, many pastimes. I'm just going to tell one particular pastime, and then the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and then rejoining the gopis after he left Vrindavan, in terms of his relationships with his wives in Dwarka. So what happened is, once upon a time, Krishna was meeting with Radharani in this place called Shamkutir, which is right near Govardhan Hill. And as he was meeting with Radharani, this old lady who happens to be Radharani's grandmother, Mukura, came. Mukura is Radharani's grandmother. And she's sort of half blind. So she wanted to see if Krishna was actually dancing with Radharani, discovered, you know, what was happening with the whole thing. And she came and she saw Krishna there. But then she also saw things like the tamal tree and thought that that was Krishna. So she got very confused. In the meantime, a lot of crying. In the meantime, this big demon named Shankachuda came. Anyone's heard of the Shankachuda demon? The story's there in the Krishna book. And kidnapped Radharani. And the Shankachuda was an associate of Kuvera. And he had stolen from Kuvera this gem, which is in the shape of a conch shell that he kept on his forehead. So after he kidnapped Radharani, what happened is that Krishna ran after the Shankachuda demon, of course killed the demon very easily, took the jewel, and gave it to Balaram. Hare Krishna. Sorry we didn't get a chance to visit you today, but I was resting up. So he gave it to Balaram, and then Balaram gave it to Radharani. Okay? Sometime after that, this person who was very cruel came to Vrindavan. His name is not cruel, but he's actually very cruel. What's his name? Akura. Akura. Yeah. So Akura means cruel, and Akura means not cruel. So he came to Vrindavan and took away Krishna. And he took away Krishna and the gopis. They tried to prevent Krishna from leaving, and we all know the story. Krishna was taken away to Mathura to kill Kamsa. So after Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis and the coward boys and all the residents of Vrindavan were feeling great separation. And according to the Lalita Madhava, Radharani, Srimati Radharani, decided to drown herself in the Jamuna River. So she entered... crying. So she entered the Jamuna River along with Vishakha, and they both left this world. Notice I'm not using the expression left her body, because Radharani has a transcendental body just like Krishna. So, and they were taken up by the sun god to the sun planet. And Radharani had in her possession this jewel from Chankachuta. Okay? Just try to remember all the details. Very, very interesting. So Lalita Devi was also Radharani's associate, Lalita Vishakha. She decided to leave her body too, and she jumped from Govardhan Hill. And she left her body. Mm. So Krishna...
leave the world or leave the body?
What's that?
Leave the world.
No, left this world. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. So she left this world. So Lalita Devi left this world. Vishakha left this world. And Radharani left this world. And so Krishna, in the meantime, fast forward, was in Mathura first, and then he transported the residents of Mathura to Dwarka. And he became known as Dwarkadisha. That means the controller or the lord of Dwarka. And while he was in Dwarka, he had no plans to get married. Krishna actually wanted to remain brahmachari. So you may say, how can Krishna say he wanted to remain brahmachari when he was dancing with all these girls in Vrindavan? But the reason is, when Krishna was dancing with all these girls in Vrindavan, there was no material agitation that Krishna felt. He was dancing with girls that would... you cannot even compare their beauty to anyone in this world. If you even tried to compare them, the only comparison you would use is saying that everybody in this world looks like a frog compared to them. Even to the Heavenly Society residents, if they look down on us, we look like a bunch of frogs or snakes or some appropriate creature like that. So, anyway, so Krishna was there. He was thinking, I don't want to get married. You know, it's going to remind me too much of my wives, of my girlfriends in Vrindavan. And so he got a note from Rukmini. So Rukmini was actually Chandravali. And she was understood to be the son of King Bhishmaka. And her brother's name was Rukmi. You all know that story. That story is there in the Krishna book. Anyway, so she got this note that Rukmi was attempting to marry her to Shishupal. So Krishna arrived at Kundina, which was Rukmini's city, and he was thinking, how can I kidnap her? Rukmini, at the same time, had gone to see the goddess Durga and was praying to the goddess Durga, because she had sent this note to Krishna to please come and kidnap her. Please let Krishna come and take me away. But she did not see Krishna. She was feeling so much anxiety, so much distress. She was surrounded by guards, though. And Krishna was thinking, how can I approach her? So Krishna at that time was with his associate. This is a very interesting story. Try to follow the details. Krishna was with his associate Garuda, the bird. So Krishna said to Garuda, let's both take on the guise of dancers. So Garuda assumed a human form, and Krishna dressed up as a dancer, meant to entertain the Princess Rukmini. And so they were in front of Rukmini. At the same time, Rukmini decided to kill herself because Krishna had not come. And she went to enter the fire of the fire sacrifice. And she was getting ready, and then this dancer, who happened to be Krishna, grabbed her. And her associate said, you dancer, you low-class person. What are you touching the princess for? And then she realized it was Krishna. And eventually, as you know, Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. And then he married her. But when he married her, King Bhishmaka And Rukmini made him promise one thing, that he would never marry anyone else without Rukmini's permission. Because she was the first princess, the first queen. So he made that promise, yes, without your permission, my dear queen, I will never marry anyone else. I will never look at another woman. Of course, Krishna's good at lying. He sort of crossed his fingers when he made that promise. So what happened? So Krishna was there. Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini. He was there in Dwarka with Rukmini. And he was feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, especially from Srimati Radharani. And so every night while he was resting, he would cry out the names of the residents of Vrindavan, especially Radharani's name. And Rukmini was not upset with that because she remembered that she was Chandravali and she wanted again to see her friends, the other gopis in Vrindavan. Specifically, she wanted to see Radharani. Because Radharani and Chandravali, they are cousin sisters. Radharani's father in Vrindavan, or Braj, is Vrishabhanu, and Rukmini's father is Chandrabhanu. And Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu, they are brothers. All right. So she was lamenting too. Rukmini really wanted to see like this. So what happened is the whole Simantaka jewel story occurred, which is also a story told by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book. And in this Simantaka jewel story, we have King Satyajit, who got this jewel. This Simantaka jewel was originally the same jewel that Sankachuta had that was taken by Balaram, given to Radharani. When Radharani went to the sun planet, she gave it to the sun god. And the sun god gave this jewel along with Radharani to Satyajit so that Satyajit would have a daughter and a jewel. Everybody follows? If you have any questions about the story, it's a little complex. So Satyajit would have a daughter and a jewel. So when Krishna showed himself actually worthy because he defeated Jambavan and got back the jewel for Satyajit, the story is there in the Krishna book, then he also got Satyabhama, who was Radharani, as a prize. He also got Jambavati. Everybody's heard of Jambavati before? Jambavati, that's Lalita. And it's interesting, when Krishna was fighting Jambavan in the cave for so many days, because that jewel was there in Jambavan's cave, Jambavan's daughter, how many days was Jambavan fighting? 28 days. Good, you know Krishna did. So Jambavan's daughter was playing with the jewel, and that was Jambavati. She was playing with the jewel. And Krishna just wanted the jewel. He didn't want her. He didn't want Jambavati. But then it was explained when Jambavati started crying why Krishna had to take her. Because every day, Jambavati, who was Lalita, was worshipping the deities of Radha and Madhava in the cave. Interesting, isn't it? She was worshipping deities of Radha and Madhava, and Radha and Krishna. Okay. So Krishna, anyway, Krishna got Jambavati, and then Satyabhama was there too. But Rukmini, not knowing that Satyabhama was Radharani, was very worried, because when she saw that Satyabhama was very, very attractive, she was thinking, I have to keep her away from Krishna. Because if Krishna sees her, it's all over. She got a little jealous. So she said to Satyabhama, you be my friend, we can stay together, but don't go near the king. And Satyabhama at that time, who is Radharani, remember? And Rukmini is Chandravali. So Satyabhama didn't know that the king was Krishna, the same Krishna. She thought his name was Dwarkadish. And so she was thinking, I don't want to go near that man. I don't care how powerful, how rich he is, how handsome he is, how famous he is, you know, all the opulences. Because she was thinking, I only want Krishna. Because Radharani is most chaste girl. She very much prizes her chastity. Like in a different book, at the Vidagdha Madhava, Radharani was getting ready to commit suicide because she thought she was attached to three different people. She said, I'm in love with the person who plays the flute. I'm in love with the person whose name is Krishna. And I'm in love with that blackish boy in the forest. So she thought there were three different people. And she was informed, what, they're all one. It's the same person. Then she was relieved. So Radharani was thinking, oh, I don't want to associate with that Dwarkadish person. Yeah, I'm just thinking of Krishna and Vrindavan. So what happened is that Satyabhama, in order to keep to be kept away from Krishna, was assigned to live in a place called New Vrindavan. Not the New Vrindavan that you've heard about, you know, in ISKCON, but there's another Vrindavan. That's a different place. That's in America. But there's a new Vrindavan that's near Dwarka that was constructed by Vishwakarma. It's a replica of the actual Vrindavan in Braj. Okay? So Satyabhama was there. Who is Radharani? Satyabhama, Radharani. I'm just making sure you all follow the story. Satyabhama, who is Radharani, was there in the forest. She was sent there by Rukmini. And she was wandering in this forest of Vrindavan. And she was lamenting, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Now my life is lost. I have no use to go on living. And then this other personality named Nava Brinda, who is New Brinda, who was a disciple of Vishwakarma, who was assigned to be with Radharani, said to her, we have a very nice deity of Krishna in the forest that you can worship. And this deity was life-size deity, just as big as Krishna was.
Like Houston.
Like Houston, yeah, like the deity of Krishna in Houston. One time I was in Houston Temple. The deities are very big. The Govardhan Shila is actually as big as this whole couch here. You seen that? You did? So I went there and I was with Tamal Krishnamaraj, and I, when the curtains opened, I said, wow, that's the biggest Krishna I've ever seen. And he said to me, everything is bigger in Texas. So it's like that. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So she saw this deity of Krishna, and she was so much in love with this deity doing deity worship. She was decorating the deity and doing so many nice things to the deity. And out of love, it wasn't quite so expert because she was crying at the same time. And so some things weren't quite lined up properly with the deity. So then they hear a noise. And so she goes into the bushes. She was thinking, it's just some man coming near. I don't want to see any man other than Krishna. And so then Krishna enters into the scene. And what does Krishna do? He sees the deity of himself. And Krishna says, he doesn't fall in love with himself. He says, some girl's been decorating this deity so nicely. I want to find out who loves me so much. And the way I'll find out is by taking, oh, Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Jai Mukunda Maharaj ki jai. Do we have a seat for Mukunda Maharaj?
Sure.
A seat. We need a seat for Mukunda. No, you get him a chair. Get him a chair. He's a nice devotee and not like me. I just don't see this. I feel better about it. I feel Mars is a senior devotee. So we're just telling you the story about Krishna and Radharani from the Lita Madhava in honor of Karti. So Krishna is thinking, Krishna is thinking, I want to see this girl who loves me so much to understand her love. So what Krishna does is he takes the deity, puts the deity in the bushes, and he assumes the same posture as the deity. You know, the flute, you know, the threefold bending form. And he just remains static. He just, like that. And so then Radharani, who is Satyabhama, comes out and says, boy, this deity is very realistic. Because Vishwakarma has done a great job. Because Vishwakarma constructed this Nava Vrindavan. Vishwakarma is the architect of the demigods. So she says, this deity is really interesting. And so she continues decorating the deity. She says, the deity, it's soft. And then, but she's speaking, and Krishna's thinking, Vishwakarma has really constructed an expert replica of Radharani. He's done a good job. So in this way, back and forth, they have some interaction. And neither one understands that the other one is a real person. They think it's a deity. So that Krishna is the deity and Radharani is who Krishna thinks is a deity, is just interacting back and forth, which is really, really interesting. Finally, it's revealed to them, and they're very happy to see each other again in this New Vrindavan forest, or Nava Vrindavan forest. However, Chandravali, who is Rukmini, sort of thinks something's going on really weird here. So she is very suspicious of what's happening, because, you know, Krishna comes back, and he's really happy after being in Nava Vrindavan forest, and she's never seen him so joyful before. So what happens? She said, I'm going to discover what's happening. I think he's meeting with Satyabhama. So what she does is she switches clothes with Satyabhama because they look very similar. And she comes into the forest making believe that she's Satyabhama to meet with Krishna. And Krishna looks at her thinking it's Satyabhama. He says, oh, my beloved. And then, you know, she's just waiting for him to slip the wrong way. But Vrinda, or Nava Vrinda at the same time, writes a little message saying, this is not Satyabhama, this is Rukmini. And Krishna catches himself in time and says, oh, my queen. Very, 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 very interesting. So in this way, Krishna is able to cover for himself. But Krishna and Radha, who was Satyabhama at that time, continue to meet in the forest of Nava Vrindavan, of New Vrindavan. And they have very interesting pastimes. One pastime is that they meet in this cave that has been constructed by Vishwakarma. And in this cave, there are many pictures. And these pictures depict Krishna's various pastimes in Vrindavan. So they're looking, Radharani and Krishna, or Satyabhama and Dwarkadish, as you may look at them, they're looking at these various carvings or pictures on the walls of the cave. And they're pointing out, just like you would look at different pictures in your past. Just like today I was asking Rupa to show me pictures of his marriage ceremony, right? Because I wanted to see a picture of myself. So I did the marriage. I said, where's me? But anyways, so isn't it sometimes you get out the family album, you know, this is us when we first got married. What happened to you? Why do you look like you do now? You used to be so handsome, used to be so attractive, like that. So Krishna and his associates, of course, they're always young. So there's no, like, why do you look like this now? You should lose some weight. It's none of that stuff. But so they were looking at the various pictures of the pastimes in Vrindavan, and they were seeing, let's say, the pastime, the Kaliya serpent, this pastime, that pastime. And one time they looked at the picture of Krishna when he stole the clothes of the gopis. And the gopis had to come out of the water. You remember the story? They had to come out of the water with their hands up like this. And there was a picture of Radharani coming out of the water. And Krishna pointed the picture and said, who's that girl there? Pointing to Radharani. And Radharani got so embarrassed by that Eventually, after looking at all these pictures, they came to one picture that they all hated. And that was the picture of Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And so Radharani said, I don't want to see this picture anymore. So they kept meeting, but Chandravali, who is Rukmini, started to get more and more upset. And she said, that's it. He's not going to meet with her anymore. I'm going to take Satyabhama into the palace and keep her captive here. She will never see Krishna again. Because in the palace, there's certain areas where the men don't go into. This is typical Kshatriya stuff, you know, where the men don't go into the women's quarters. So we'll keep her here. She'll be safe from the clutches of that debauchee. So it's interesting that in Dwarka, you have Rukmini trying to keep Radha and Krishna from meeting. And in Vrindavan, you have Kutila and Jatila performing the same activity and creating that sort of like dynamic suspense, the romantic suspense there. So she was thinking, I will never let them meet. So Krishna was thinking, I have to figure out a way to meet with Radharani. So Krishna says to Navarvinda, get me some clothes so I can dress up like a lady. So Krishna dresses up as a very beautiful girl, and he enters into Rukmini's palace, and he's introduced by Vrinda, or Navarvinda, and she says, here's this very, very nice girl who's friends with Satyabhama, and she wants to spend some time with Satyabhama. And Rukmini does not suspect anything. She's thinking, oh, this is very nice. Satyabhama has some friends, and that'll fulfill her need for friendship and love, so she won't really want to be with Krishna that much. So that's much better. So Rukmini says, go be with your friend, you know, embrace, give a hug to your friend. So Krishna and Radha, or Satyabhama, they go into the next room. In the meantime, there was a parrot that overheard Krishna's plan. And that parrot has flown into Rukmini's palace. And that parrot says, imitating Krishna's voice, I'm going to dress up like a woman and fool Rukmini so I can be with Satyabhama. So, does everybody follow the story so far? Very simple story. So when Rukmini hears this, she gets livid, red with rage. And she's saying, that's it. I've had it. Satyabhama is out of here. She's going to be sent to Kundina, which is her family home. And I'm never letting her come back. And so when Satyabhama hears that, by grace of the parrot also, this parrot keeps repeating things, Satyabhama, who is Srimati Radharani, decides, that's it, I'm going to commit suicide. Because if I can't be with my Krishna, there's no use for my life. See, that's the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that, of course, is taught to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtika, that a moment's separation is like a yuga. Prabhupada translates it 12 years or more, but actually it's like a yuga. It's like millions of years. Yugaitam nimishena chakshusha pravashayitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda vidahename. So it's like an unlimited amount of time, an eternity. In fact, the gopis, they love Krishna so much that they cannot even bear to have their eyes blink when they're with Krishna. The gopis, they would get envious of fish. Why would they get envious of fish? Anyone know? Because the fish have eyes that never close. They can never go to sleep. So Radharani, who's Satyabhama, was thinking, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to go back to this Nava Vrindavan, and I'm going to enter into the Kaliya Lake, which has all these serpents, and kill myself. So she runs to the Kaliya Lake and jumps into the Kaliya Lake. At the same time, Krishna hears about this. And he thinks, I have to save her. So he runs to the Kaliya Lake and saves her. Of course, the serpents are all imitation serpents. They're not real serpents in this particular Kaliya Lake. And Krishna saves her. But Radharani doesn't know it's Krishna. She thinks that Krishna's arms are just like black snakes. And she's saying, why aren't these black snakes biting me and killing me? And then Krishna, of course, Krishna does save her. And then after Krishna saves her, it is revealed to Rukmini Chandravali that actually this is Radharani, her sister, cousin sister. And then they embrace each other, and then she is accepted by Rukmini as a co-wife. So then when she accepts her as a co-wife, she understands it's Radharani. She's very, very happy. Then also Jambavati is accepted as a co-wife. And simultaneously, the 16,100 princesses that were kidnapped by Bhomasura, that's another story in Krishna book, are accepted by Krishna because Krishna couldn't accept them immediately because Garuda was keeping them safe until Rukmini agreed that Krishna could have more wives. So, to make a long story short, there's a happy ending. Krishna gets married to Satyabhama. Krishna gets married to 16,107, actually six, if you don't count Rukmini and Satyabhama, wives, and they all live happily ever after.
And who ended up with the jewel?
Who ended up with the jewel? The jewel was tied to Radharani's wrist. And when it was discovered, that was the prediction, that when Radharani had the Shaimantaka jewel on her wrist, at that time it would be revealed to everybody who she was, when Satyabhama had that on her wrist. So she ended up with the jewel like that. And that's the end of the story. Interesting story, isn't it? So that story, what that story does is illustrates Radha and Krishna's great love for each other, because Krishna could not bear to live without Radharani, and Radharani could not bear to live without Krishna. And so all the wives of Krishna in Dwarka are considered to be expansions or manifestations of his associates, the female associates, in Vrindavan. And we find the description in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that the eternal associates of Krishna in his various abodes are all expansions of Krishna's eternal associates in Goloka Vrindavan. Even Garuda, who is the bird carrier of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form is a coward boy in Vrindavan. This is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, mentions this too. So, just like Krishna expands, Ete Changsa Kalak Pumsa, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the various incarnations are expansions or portions of planetary portions of the Lord. In the same way, Krishna's Shaktis, or energies, and even Krishna's eternal devotees expand like that. This was also mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Gopakumar is going to various planetary systems, not only in the spiritual realm, but also the material realm, and practically everywhere he's seen Narada Muni. And he asks Narada Muni, why are you in all these different places? And Narada Muni explains that sometimes Krishna's pure devotees are able to expand and be in the different abodes of the Supreme Lord simultaneously. So the main point is that the residents of Dwarka are all manifestations of the residents in Vrindavan or Braj. So Krishna gets to associate with the residents of Braj while he's manifesting or while he's associating with the residents of Dwarka. Does everybody understand that? So any questions or comments about that? This is a nice story to tell in Kartik. Yes, Ajit?
That what you just explained there answers the question by Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, asking why the evidence of Vrindavan, Krishna never lived in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So therefore the creation of new Vrindavan
In Dwarka, yeah.
Explains how the religious institution, and you explain how the gopis are mentioned. But how does it work with the coward boys? How do they never separate?
Well, the coward boys, all the residents of the various abodes, including the coward boys, expand to be with Krishna when he expands. No. And when Krishna appears in his original form, the expansions of Krishna come within Krishna. That's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and also the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they're always associating with Krishna in their various pastimes. Just like we have Lakshmi. For example, one name of Radharani is Adi Lakshmi, or the original Lakshmi, or Adi Shakti. So all the other Lakshmis expand, all the other, of course, the gopis expand, and the other Lakshmis, the Shaktis, expand from Srimati Radharani, who is the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's different classes of entities. There's Vishnu Tattva, which is Krishna, and his various Vishnu Tattva expansions, like Lord Ram, like Lord Vishnu. And there's Jiva Tattva, which is like all of us, or most of you, I think, are Jiva Tattva, right? Anyone here Vishnu Tattva?
I'm a superhero in disguise.
What's that?
I'm a superhero in disguise.
Oh, really? Well, even the superheroes are Jiva Tattva. Which one? Which superhero are you?
We have to tell you privately.
Right. But even though they have their vulnerable points. Even if you're Superman, you have your kryptonite.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Krishna has no vulnerable point except he's controlled by love of his devotees. So there's Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and there's also Shakti Tattva.
Who is this new Vrinda?
Navavrinda. She's an expansion of Vrinda, and she's a disciple of Vishwakarma. Because, that's an important point that I can make based on your question, is that Vrinda Devi never does leave Vrindavan. There's a story, and this is not just a story from the Puranas or whatever, but this is an actual historical thing within modern time. When the Muslims were attacking Braj, they took the deities out of Braj to protect the deities. Many of the deities went to Jaipur, like you have Radha Govinda, or Natwar, where you have Nachi. Nachi was the deity discovered by Madhavendra Puri that was installed on Govardhan. He was called Gopal first, and later on he got the name Nachi because he's in Natwar. So, but there was one deity they could not move out of Vrindavan or out of Braj, and that was the Vrinda deity. Because they took the deities to western Braj, and there is one city called Kamyavan. Anyone been there? You've been there. And the original Vrinda deity is still there because they tried to move her, and she wouldn't move. She refused to leave Vrindavan. So she's still there. And, of course, there's Vrinda Kund there.
She's quite large, I believe.
Yeah, very large deity. Anybody? You've seen the Vrinda deity there. Kamyavan is a very interesting place. Van means forest. Kamyavan means the forest where all your desires are fulfilled. So if you go there and you have some desire, you better watch your desires, though. Just like I was recently on Parikrama, and we were taking the devotees around. They were touching the different desire trees. And generally, I ask for pure devotional service. So there was a little boy with us. Who was there with us at the same time? I think you were there, Nishingananda. So what happened is that this little boy, his name was Kana, and I said, you can ask anything you want from the tree. So he goes up, embraces the tree, and then he says, I want a gas-powered car, or a motorcycle, or cycle, gas-powered cycle. So he was asking that from the desire tree.
I was there that day.
You were there that day. That was funny. And then there's one interesting story about one of my godbrothers. I had an interesting encounter about a desire tree. My godbrother was about 50 years old, and he really wanted to get married. But I didn't want him to get married because he was 50. You know, I thought he's over the hill. You know what over the hill means? Yeah. Over the hill means
getting older.
Yeah, it means it's past the prime of life. So I said, you're right. So I went up to the tree and I embraced the tree. I begged the tree, please let him remain without getting married. So I said to him, I just prayed for you to the desire tree. And he said, Maharaj, don't do that. So he ran up to the desire tree, embraced, and prayed the opposite. And, you know, much harder than I prayed, with much more intensity. And within 2 weeks, he was married. That's a love story for you. So you got to be... So in other words, his desire was stronger than my desire for him. So you have to be careful what you ask Krishna for, because you can get in trouble. So generally, we should be asking Krishna for pure devotional service or something related with pure devotional service, like the potency to preach Krishna consciousness, potency to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, for the health and welfare of other Vaishnavas, something spiritual like that. We shouldn't be doing, what do they call it, Satyanarayan Katha, where you pray to Krishna, please give me this, please give me that. Yes?
When I went to come here with Mother Jagatrini, and we got to where the roadblock was, you know, the train, and she said, okay, stop the taxi. She said, okay, your first desire is only spiritual desires. So,
that's nice.
No,
no, Vrindakund is not a Kamyavan. Vrindakund is near Nandagram. Is near Nandagram. But Kamyavan, that was not Vrinda's original place. Vrinda's original place is at Vrindakund. But Kamyavan is where they could not move Vrinda from. Because it's at the edge, the western edge of Braj.
Is that the temple that the ISKCON acquired some years ago?
Vrindakund they acquired, yeah. Vrindakund. Kamyavan has not been acquired by ISKCON. But
Vrindakund.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember it? You remember it. You remember going there. Kamyavan. Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, yes. Jam Kutir. Yeah.
By Govardhan. And actually, I read just recently in Srimad Bhagavatam that it was Rasa dance of Krishna and Balaram, both of them. So, my question, how come they were here? Because usually Krishna can't reveal himself fully in front of Balaram.
Well, they had separate gopis that they associated with.
Yeah, but at the same place.
And it, well, different locations in the same place. Kamyavan. I mean, Shamkutir. Shamkutir means dark kutir. Like the word sham means dark. And it's a very dark place. It's actually in the center of Govardhan. Those of you who have been to Govardhan know where Govardhan goes under the ground. You leave, when you leave the city of Govardhan, going towards Radhakund, Govardhan goes under the ground. And to get to Shamkutir, you have to really... turn, as you're going to Parikrama, you turn right, go inside the forest there. That's all. There's a kund there. There's a Ratna kund. And there's also the place where the Ratna Singhasana was. That means the jewel throne of Radha and Krishna. It's a very, very isolated place. Has anyone been there?
I think you can see the deer.
I took you there, right?
Shyamavan is where Krishna's footprint is.
Yeah, yeah. There's a footprint of Krishna and a cow or a calf there. I think some of you have been there. It's right. This is right in the middle of Govardhan. And that's where the Shankachuda demon kidnapped Radharani. It's also a very dangerous place. We've had some devotees attacked there. So don't go there alone. So, Krishna Balaram was also there. That's why Balaram got the jewel from the head of Shankachuda.
Actually, it's written in the story that Krishna asked Balaram, watch the girls, and I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, another point is that Radharani wasn't actually kidnapped. It was a replica of Radharani, because Radharani can never be touched by a demon. And so it's just like when we talk about Sita Devi being kidnapped by Ravan, it was Maya Sita. So there was a replica of Radharani, so it wasn't really that Radharani was kidnapped. Another point of the story is just a little esoteric information. You know that Bhomasura was Krishna's son. Krishna, this is interesting for those of you who are parents. Krishna's wife was Bhumi. Bhumi is the earth. So Bhumi was impregnated when Krishna, as Lord Bor, picked up the earth planet. As we know, Krishna can do anything with any one of his senses. Angani, Asha, Shakalendri, Adri, Timanti. So the earth planet was impregnated. And as a result, Bhumi gave birth to a little son, Boma. And this Boma was a cute little boy. He was a devotee. But by bad association, this is the message. By bad association, he became, what? A demon. And he kidnapped 16,100 princesses. But by doing that, he was performing service for his father. Because he was taking these princesses, and later on, after his father killed, right, him, these princesses were taken by Krishna as wives. And these princesses were actually, anyway, the gopis of Vrindavan, or the expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan.
Where did he take them from?
Where did he take them from? Various palaces.
In which district?
All over the place.
All over the place,
yeah.
Different kingdoms.
Different kingdoms, yeah.
And all that.
Yeah, wherever, yeah. All over India. Yeah. He kidnapped them and he was keeping them inside a cave. Mm. That's Bhumasura. And so Krishna had to kill his own son. There's another story, I mean, there's so many stories about this, that Krishna had promised Bhumi he wouldn't kill his son. You know, because she went to him, Bhumi went to him and said, please don't kill my son. He may be a demon, but, you know, he's my baby. You know, for the mother, the child is always the baby, even if he's a demon. So please don't kill my son. And Krishna said, all right, without your permission, I will not kill him. And so Krishna is tricky. Krishna is the supreme tricky person. So he took with him, when he was going to fight with Bhumasura, he took with him Satyabhama on the back of Garuda. And Satyabhama expands as Bhumi. So Satyabhama and Bhumi, they're basically the same. So when he was with Satyabhama, they were getting attacked by Bhumasura, and Satyabhama said, kill him. And Krishna said, thank you for giving me permission. And Krishna killed him.
Technical,
the fine print, you know. Krishna is so, when you read these literatures depicting Krishna's pastimes, you realize how attractive, tricky, wonderful the Supreme Personality of God is, how romantic he is. And when you hear about Krishna's romance, you lose desire for your own romantic affairs, or even to watch what they call in India Bollywood movies. I know in Fiji, which, you know, I happen to be connected with, devotees are very much addicted to Bollywood movies. Anyone here ever seen a Bollywood movie? You see. They're all pretty much the same. That there's some romance, you know, either the guy's riding on a motorcycle and the romance is impeded by the girl's brother or father or whatever. And they meet and then they have some big dance in the middle of the city. Which is pretty much unrealistic, because nobody dances in the middle of Bombay like that. It's a very dirty city. But it's all a perverted reflection of Krishna's pastimes. So there's these big dances, you know, all the girls gather in a circle and boy, whatever it is. But that's a perverted reflection of Rasalila, isn't it? So that you can learn about Krishna's pastimes by watching a Bollywood film. But not that you should keep watching Bollywood films, to keep learning. So they're really gross representations or reflections or perverted reflections of Krishna's pastimes. And so if you hear about Krishna's pastimes, like Rupa Goswami says, if you would all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, go to see that boy Govinda who's playing his flute on the bank of the Keshi Ghat. Then you lose all attraction for the romantic affairs of this material world. Another Cupid. You were able to conquer Cupid. Okay, any other questions? Mars, did you want to ask something?
big. In the month of Kartik, about Krishna getting tied up. We talk about Radharani specifically here, but in the pastimes itself, it's a lot of emphasis on Mother Yasoda.
Yeah.
Can you sort of clarify that, how it is you put a lot of emphasis on Radharani in that particular...
Because all
talking
the...
Talking about Dhamma Dhamma.
Yeah. Well, I explained why we chant... Why we chant Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar. And because Radharani ties up Krishna with her love. And Yashoda Mai, all devotees actually, all pure devotees, are able to control Krishna. There's six qualities of pure devotional service that are listed in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti, Rasa, and Mrita. Does anyone know those six qualities?
For me, it's very rare.
It's very rare, but the... That's one of the last ones.
Could you repeat that?
It's very rare. Only means of controlling Krishna. Those are two of them. We gave you two. Bill Bride's liberation. Immediate relief from all distress. Full of auspiciousness. And you left that one. Perhaps one of the most important. What? No, I already said that. It's very basic stuff. Brings transcendental happiness. So those are the six qualities. And we didn't mention them in order because the first one is relief from material distress. And brings auspiciousness, transcendental happiness. Devotee derides the conception of liberation. It's very rare and it's the only means of attracting Krishna. So if you come to the platform, pure devotional service, you actually control Krishna. You can tie up Krishna with your love. But then you're not desiring to control Krishna. You're desiring to be controlled by Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's pure devotional service. Not, you're not even hankering for happiness anymore. You'll even pray that Krishna will take away the happiness if it's impeding your devotional service, like that devotee, Daruka, who is fanning Krishna, and the ecstasy or the happiness was interfering with his service. You understand? He was shaking in ecstasy, and he said, I cannot fan properly if I'm shaking. So please, take away this ecstasy. That's love. That's pure devotion. And that love controls Krishna. That's real love. In what? Yeah.
She heard the story of Mother Yashoda tying Krishna, so she wanted to control Krishna in the same way.
Tied Krishna with a golden rope, yeah.
So that's what Radha Damodar is.
That's Radha Damodar too, yeah. So, but basically, we should understand the story of Mother Yashoda, because Mother Yashoda's tying Krishna indicates Mother Yashoda's great love for Krishna, and that maternal love is higher... than the paternal love. You understand? Maternal is higher than paternal. Is that something for your ladies to gloat about? The love of a mother is higher than the love that the father has. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Now, I understand the sentiment is very wonderful. Just specifically, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, like, we're more so meditating on Radha and Krishna than Bala Gopala and Vrindavan. So when we say, I have no other desire but to see Bala Gopala and Vrindavan,
well, the devotees... Well, also the devotees see the various forms of Krishna and Vrindavan. Are not based upon some material difference in age like we have. Like, for example, when Krishna danced the Rasa dance for the first time, how old was he? Does anyone know?
7 years
old. You know, so he's... How many seven-year-old boys do you know are interested in girls? So it's a transcendental form. You know, that Bala Gopal is the same... Krishna was dancing with Radharani. So we, the devotees in Braj, appreciate all the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within, all the different ages like that. We don't discriminate and say, well, I'm only interested in seeing Krishna dancing with Radharani. We're interested in all the different pastimes and all the different aspects like that. Does that explain it?
Yeah, I was just wondering, when we're singing Damodaras together, like for our benefit, to sing it.
But we're also talking that, you know, we also glorified Radharani in the Damodarashtika.
Yeah,
the last one. You know, many of these songs, and I'm not going to get into esoteric explanations either, because this would go on forever, delineate different stages in devotional service. Like if you have the Shikshashtika verse, the Shikshashtika verses can be compared to the different stages in devotional service, like Adoshradatata Sadhu Sangota Bhajanakriya. I don't want to get too esoteric here. Or they can be compared to different times of the day in the Ashtakali Aliya of Krishna. So basically, when you're talking about these different prayers, at least when the devotees have the eightfold prayers, they can usually be connected with different aspects of devotional service, as well as with different times of the day in Krishna's pastimes. Does everyone follow that? But it's too esoteric to talk about right now. Yeah, any other questions or comments? I think it's time for prasadam, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai.